On this episode of the Dudes and Dads podcast, we talk all about quitting.
You're listening to the Dudes and Dads podcast, a show dedicated to helping men be better dudes and dads by building community through meaningful conversation and storytelling. And now, here are your hosts, Joel DeMott and Andy Lehman.
Joel, I quit.
Oh, you know, I've been waiting for this day.
Not really. No, I don't quit.
No, I don't quit the show. Not quitting the show.
Not the show.
Gosh, we're going to be talking about quitting.
Not the show, though.
But not the show. To be clear.
Yes.
I'm trying to quit cold turkey.
What are you quitting? Cold turkey.
No, just cold turkey.
Just turkeys that are cold. You are going to be done with that.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat cold turkey anymore. I'm quitting cold turkey.
My, why? You know, normally when you say you're quitting cold turkey, there's something that you're quitting.
Yeah, yeah. No, just
and,
literally.
And you're literally just going to quit cold turkey.
I will do warm turkey. I'll do tepid turkey. Maybe even lukewarm and or room temperature, but cold. It's done.
You're not going to do it. Well, hey, we are recording live tonight, and like I said, we are talking about quitting. But if we don't want to quit, if you would like to be part of this show and you are watching with the other fellow people who are watching, you can comment on our show.
Yeah.
And we will see your comment and we will talk about your comment. So if you have anything that you want to say about quitting, we would love to hear it. But first, before we get into that, support for this episode comes from Everence, dedicated to helping make Medicare an easy step through free educational seminars and individual consultations. There we go. Learn more at Everence.com/Medicare-Monday. Securities offered through Concourse Financial Group Securities Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC.
Nice. Thank you, Everence. Thank you for answering our questions.
So, quitting. We had a guest scheduled for the day, and we had to quit on our guest a couple times, actually. We had to reschedule a couple times.
What goes around comes around.
And then he called in today and said, hey, I can't make it. And so I said, that's fine. That's fair. We canceled you last two times. So we'll get you scheduled.
We're going to roll with it. But
I called up Joel. I called up you and I said, hey, you, what should we do for this episode? Because we don't have a guest and you had a great idea. So roll with
thanks.
It.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I'm interested in this idea of our approach toward quitting, how we talk about quitting. Andy, I don't know about you, but I grew up with the expectation that quitting as a general rule was not acceptable.
Okay. It's like quitting anything, like obviously almost, dropping out of school, but
almost quitting anything.
Anything. Okay.
Once you start, and I think that's what we want to tease out tonight. We want to expand on this. Like once you start something, you see it through to completion.
Yeah.
You go all the way. Because when you don't, that somehow there's potentially like a lack of character or you're learning a bad habit. Or if you start quitting now, this is what we hear when we're younger. You start quitting now when there are maybe fewer consequences for your quitting. What's going to happen when you get older?
Like what? Like fewer kind. Oh, you mean just in general? Like, it's not that big of a deal. You quit the sports team.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Like, whatever.
Like, hey, okay. No big deal. No big deal.
All right.
But where there's not the consequences are not as high yet. Quitting can become in that context. Quitting can become all too easy. It can become an attractive thing. It can also have all kinds of other. It's possible negative consequences. But I also want to explore, Andy, the concept of quitting and the positive side of quitting. And this really, for those of you that are interested, this idea comes to me, this book that was written by Anne Duke, literally entitled Just Quit.
Did you finish the book?
No.
So you quit.
I haven't actually quit the book yet. I haven't quit the book yet, but I've got until early Wednesday morning to get this baby done. Cause I've got a book club that I'm part of a book club. Andy,
look at you.
It is it's like an executive leader book club.
Okay.
And we meet at 6:30 AM on like the last Wednesday of each month. And let me tell you, Andy, that is early for me to
take it around.
Well, it's just like, cause I gotta be out the door by a certain time and I gotta make a little bit of a drive. But then when you sit down, this is the other thing. Like when you sit down, you're like, oh, I need to have like an engaging conversation around this book that we've read over this past month and everything.
You gotta be awake.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta be with it. So anyway, I will be, I'm going to be ready to be one way or the other by Wednesday. But this book, that Anne has written, just got me thinking about kind of some key points of how we treat quitting, how we talk about quitting, how we feel about quitting, maybe identifying some times that we have quit things in our life.
Okay.
And then also maybe how we talk about quitting to our kids, because I feel like those are different conversations.
Right. Okay. So you had mentioned in the opening of this, you said, you know, we get that from we talk about that with our kids. Like, yeah. We say, you can't quit. You can't quit. You can't quit.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. So that brings in, as an adult, I think that brings in that same mindset where we say we're not going to quit.
That's what you've been trained to that point in your life. Yeah.
Right. And I think overall as a society, we have a tendency to, for the most part, overcommit. Because I think a lot of times we don't like saying no, we don't like disappointing people. So we don't say no. I think there's a whole,
so you're talking about like when you're saying, okay, you're making commitments to maybe other organizations, clubs, all these things that you're going to say yes to. And then you wake up one day and you're like, I have got a lot of things, on my plate. And I potentially need to quit one or two of them.
Yes. Yes. That's essentially what I'm saying. Yes.
And how do you go about that? How do you go about deciding what it is that you quit? What it is that you hold on to? How do you, what's the strategy and all of that? Andy, can you think of something that you have quit in maybe the last year or two where you were like, I was doing this and I'm going to quit it.
Yes. So actually I just did this just the other week. Mm. So I have been part of the Boy Scouts. I've been a leader in the Boy Scouts. I joined when my boys joined, they joined several years ago and said, hey, you know, this is something that I wanted to do previously two things. So I had been, when you were youth pastor here, we were helping out doing the youth leading, like we were doing Wednesday nights with the youth. We continued on after you had left a little bit. And then eventually when the boys joined Boy Scouts, I said, you know, hey, that's something that I would really like to do, mm-hmm. because I feel like my time is better used there.
Sure.
And not in a bad way. I mean, I think my goal was to help kids and to help them see Christ.
Yeah.
And I think for me here at the church, I'm trying to use my words right.
Yeah.
Wisely here. The kids here needed me too.
Right.
But I felt like I had a better reach of unchurched kids.
Yes.
Absolutely. That were at the Boy Scouts. And so I quit here.
Yep.
And I went to do the Boy Scouts.
Yep.
And just this past couple months, my life has got a lot more hectic, I will say. And so that I felt like in order to better invest my time, mm-hmm. With my family and with just in general, it would be best for me to quit the Boy Scouts. And some things of that have been because of other situations that came in. Like, I didn't just want to leave them hanging, but my son Micah had aged out of the Boy Scouts, and so he actually became a leader.
Right.
And then another younger guy just stepped in and became a leader too. And so me leaving in the midst of two new leaders came, I felt okay about that. Now, again, it was tough for me because I really kind of did want to work with Micah.
Sure.
Because, you know, lead alongside of Micah. But I also felt like this was the right time for me to step out because of the fact that there was an abundance of leaders there, that this would be appropriate for me.
So you kind of looked at the whole situation there and you said, you know, okay, what probably at the beginning of your, and this translates, again, I'm just using Andy's example here, but obviously this can translate across the board, different circumstances. When you initially joined or jumped on that, There was much more of a clear need.
Oh, yeah.
Right. A clear need.
Well, I I'd say when I jumped on to, it was, I wanted to do something with my boys. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be there and to help and be involved in their lives in doing this. And I knew this is something that Micah really enjoyed doing.
Right.
Right. I knew Micah really, like, this was his thing. This is where he shined.
Yeah, for
he
sure.
He was there and he's a Boy Scout through and through.
Yeah.
And so, like, I knew I wanted to be well, he enjoys youth group, that he was going to shine there. And so I wanted to be there with him and come up alongside of him. And also, again, there was a need.
Yep.
And so I stepped in and I filled that. But then I was able to see, I think that this is an important thing. And we may get into this later when we're talking more about the quitting. But, like, I'm listening to the people around me. So I'm listening to my own, like, my own mental my own thoughts, and I'm listening to all, like, my own, like, body, and realizing I can't do everything. You know, I'm looking at my schedule and going, okay, you know, Monday nights there's not a lot going on, but, you know, right now Reagan goes into tennis, and then we also have 4-H, and Julie's doing more at her job, and I'm, you know, and then doing the Boy Scouts, and Wednesday we're doing this, and Thursday, like, it's like, for me, I knew that I couldn't do that all because I needed a little bit of a place to rest. And I was picking up more work on the side doing my podcast business, consulting business. Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah. And let's just be clear. Andy's a big deal.
I don't know about people.
Seriously. Friends, you don't, Andy does not mention this frequently. I think it's fair just to make the point of, people that have been along our journey of this podcast have again and again said, have just talked about the quality that comes. And I'm always very, very clear about where that quality comes from as far as the production side and all of that. And, people have noticed, and people that are interested there, I think they're doing the absolute right thing and get in touch with you and finding out more about how they can, you know, how they can use your expertise. And you want to be that person for people.
Right.
Right. Because I think so many times, and this is in other areas too, where it's like, if I can be a help, I want to be a help. But as always, I have only so much time, only so much bandwidth.
Right. And this is something that I think all along, like, we, you know, I was joking, like, we, when we first got married, like, we kind of tossed around some things and came up with the title, like, Layman Creations. And like, if you've known me on social, like, that's my handle on a lot of things. And I was doing wedding videos and stuff like that. And, like, I got a check the other day that was written to Layman Creations LLC because I had just recently formed the LLC.
Yeah.
And I messaged or called Julie and said, this, like, I just deposited a check.
Yeah.
That it was written to Layman Creations. Like, it's about dang time. Like, right. I mean, like, we've been married for almost 20 years and we talked about this, but this is the first time that, like, it's kind of become official and felt official. Great. And so, yeah, anyways, that's a thing, but yeah, I mean, I knew that I was doing more of that stuff and I was doing, you know, more and more. Mm-hmm. So I knew I wasn't going to be able to completely fill my time and give where I felt like I needed to give. And again, honestly, for me, when I evaluated, like, I felt, okay, I'm at the Boy Scouts every week, but I'm not mentally giving it my all because I'm not, like, yeah. I haven't been, like, there's enough leaders. I'm kind of feeling like I'm giving myself an out. And so, like, my time there was great. I appreciated all of my time there and everything that I was able to do there and the friendships that I made, but I knew that it was time to step out.
Yeah. Not everything is forever.
Right.
Right. Right. Some things are seasonal. Some things are going to be a year, two, five, and then done. You know, I find myself already thinking ahead, with some of the stuff. Like, you know, I serve as a PTO president. Well, naturally, after next year, when my kid ages out of the school that he's at, I won't have another child at that school for the time being. Like, that's a natural quitting spot, right? And to be clear,
right,
I will be quitting that job. Not because I don't love it, but because it's like that. It's something that has to be shared with other people. This is a part of what I think, just to kind of camp on this. Sometimes your quitting opens up another opportunity for someone else.
Right. Right. I think that's
right. If you're doing it well, if you're like doing like a rage quit or a quick quit or a silent quit, you know, there's good ways to quit and bad ways to quit. But if you're doing it the right way, it can offer another opportunity for someone else to come in who possibly has more resources or maybe a specific skill in an area or whatever. So there can be a virtue to that. Andy, have you ever, can you think of a time, maybe not for you, but maybe for somebody else, where you're like, that person should have quit a while ago and they're holding on.
Yeah.
And maybe doing harm or damage, like harm or damage.
Yeah. I think especially there have been times that I've seen people, and I'm not naming names in the show.
Yeah. But
I have seen people who have held on way too long to positions and things. And it's evident in their passion. Their passion isn't there anymore.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, they're still there. Whether that means, you know, they need it financially, they need it for whatever reasons. Like, they're still there, and it brings the organization down.
Yeah,
I think because they're not fully invested in it.
I get really, I don't know, I get leery in some situations where I've got someone telling me, like, where they're frequently reminding myself or a group or whatever, like, how long I've been doing this for 30 years and or however long it is. And, like, that's great and all, but if your investment or your commitment to something is because you feel like now your identity is based in I've been here this long and I have not quit. And now that's who I am. I'm the person that hasn't quit this. That can be problematic too. So Andy, in this book, Quit, she outlines this whole idea of quitting as a virtue, which we don't, like, again, as we said at the beginning, we talk about quitting as like that.
It's negative. We see it negative most of the time because anyways.
And I, you know, it's the great line from our buddy Kenny Rogers. You got to know when to hold them, Andy, and you got to know when to fold them. Right. And so points out in the book, actually, that poker players, like when they quit, when they fold, professional poker players do that way more than amateur ones do.
Really?
And so that there's this idea that there's a wisdom that as you gain experience and wisdom, you just know when it's like, okay, this is not my hand. Right?
Right.
But I could just try to persevere because this is automatically where we can go. And sometimes it's like, yes, persevere through things. Yes. You know, set your mind to something. But there are times, and I think this is where wisdom and guidance, and I think surrounding yourself with the right people, where it's like, okay, this thing that you're in, you just trying to muscle your way through it is going to do more harm than good. Or maybe you've been at this thing so long that it's going to be really hard for you to objectively know if you should stay or not. And I mean, I can think of a few. Andy, I think you and I might actually share, maybe I would share a couple of organizations maybe that we would know or have seen people in where it's like, I understand the value of longevity and of wanting to stay around and continue to make an impact. But your presence here is now concerning me about, about the longevity and kind of the organization or whatever it is, the club or whatever it is moving forward in health, because you were unable or unwilling to quit, step down, to pass on. And so now you've left this, you might be leaving this place a weaker spot. And I will say, there's kind of a club that, Andy and I both are a part of, where one of the leaders has backed off, but has brought new people in. And there's a strength there. And I think that, like, that's a person that I want to follow.
Right? Let's talk a little bit about that. I think that's a good virtue to do. I think that especially, I mean, depending on the situation, I mean, obviously sometimes, like for me with stepping out of the Boy Scouts, I saw that there was that opportunity to do that. Cause I felt it in my spirit. I felt like it's my time. It's getting my time. But then I also realized that there are other leaders coming up who are younger, who could do it better, that were there to take my place. But sometimes you have to cultivate that, right? I mean, sometimes if you're going to quit something, you might have to bring your replacement in. And I'm not even talking about like a job. Like we're talking about volunteering things here. I mean, right. jobs are a whole different animal. Right. But in this case, like you might have to bring in other leaders, other people to take over and to train those people to leave well.
Yeah.
And leaving isn't easy, especially if it's something that you started. I mean, that's even harder when you started an organization started a group. Yeah. Like that's a really hard, I mean, but again, I think you have to evaluate like is me being here detrimental to me?
Yep.
Because again, you have to know, okay, this may be time for me to step up because I need, even though it's going to be hard for me to leave this, it's going to be better for me and maybe even stepping down into a different position. So maybe it's not leaving the organization altogether or leaving it altogether, but stepping down from maybe being head honcho to something, you know, just volunteering.
There's a humility component to this, no matter what. And there's a humility component and there's a question of identity and what you find, where you find your value and how you see yourself. And all those things get easily intertwined with each other and can be really, really difficult. I do think about, you mentioned jobs and quitting jobs. And how you've like how you navigate that decision too, right? Because there's quitting the sports team, there's quitting the club or the organization or whatever it is that you volunteer for or whatever it is, and then there's like your actual like profession, right? And quitting something, particularly if you're quitting something that feels pretty comfortable to you or pretty natural.
So would you say like identity, like it's your identity, or what are you saying here?
Well, I think like, how do you know when to quit a job? Like how does that occur? Cause I think there are, you know, for me, man, it feels like it has to be like, there has to be like a crystal clear, like neon flashing neon sign.
Right. Well, I mean, I think part of that is because your job kind of becomes ingrained in your everyday.
Yeah.
Your everyday who you are and it becomes comfortable. Yeah. Right. I mean, I think that and that may be a good quality. I mean, not a good quality, a good sign that it's time to quit anything.
Yeah.
Because like I was even talking about with the scouts or whatever, like there was something in me that even though it was comfortable and I liked doing it,
yeah,
there was something in me that went, now is the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be, and I, you know, listeners, I'd be interested like to hear from you guys, hear any reflections that you guys have on when you decided to quit. What were the things that informed that decision, and what reservations did you have? And obviously like financial reservations are definitely one. You know, can I afford to quit? At the same time, it's like, it's super hard when money is the thing keeping you in something, with job or, you know, whatever. But right. At the same time, we have that pressure. Like, we want to have to provide for the family. We got to put food on the table. Right. We got to do all those, those things.
And I think that that's easy. I mean, especially like looking at jobs in particular, like it's pretty easy when you go, okay, this next job is going to be more financially beneficial for mm-hmm. me
right.
than my current one. But what if it's not?
Yeah.
What if your next job is not financially beneficial for you?
Yeah.
But
it's better.
But it's better health wise.
Yeah. Or there's some added benefit. And I mean, I think, you know, sometimes, and as this was the case with me not too long ago, like I just really began to think about like where, I don't know, this is a realization I've had, you know, being in pastoral ministry as long as I was. And when I decided to quit that and go and do, go work for a different kind of organization and have another different kind of leadership position, in doing all that, I realized like it has been a kind of a slow process and uncovering of, you know, again, like where my identity was or what I found comfortable. The biggest thing is for me, and you know, I'm just realizing that a lot of my like a lot of my own like spiritual journey was largely attached more to like an organization, maybe it was more than I think some other relationships that I should have been, you know, specifically my relationship mm-hmm. with God. But like, sometimes the, you know, and this is, I mean, a slightly unique situation to mine, but not quitting and holding on and doing the same thing. It was, you know, ongoing was covering up some things for me.
Oh, okay.
You know, it kept me from having to take a real look at like, what is really important to me? Like, where is my priority really in life? So in that way, it's like quitting made things hard. Like it made some things harder for me. And just cause I have to, you know, had to look at things differently.
Well, you had to reshape your identity.
Yeah.
Really. You had to take a hard look and say, okay, is this like what makes me who I am?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it my job? Is it the job in this case, particularly in the church, in a pastoral ministry?
Yeah.
Or is it something else that makes me Joel DeMott?
Right. And there's this fear of failure thing too. I mean, this is the deal, Andy. Like there are, and this might be true in other, I'm assuming it is in other professions, like there's just this stigma of quitting around like something must have gone really wrong with you or with the job or whatever in order for you to quit. I mean, I make the joke all the time, like when I meet with other community groups out there or whatever, some in Christian spaces and some in not. Where they ask like, hey, what did you do previous to this? And it's like, well, I was in vocational ministry for over 17 years. And then I jokingly and or half seriously say, however, I did not leave pastoral ministry because I was, you know, unfaithful to my wife, stole money for an organization, or led with an iron fist and my staff, you know, were traumatized by my leadership. Right. for those of you that are listening, I hope none of you are traumatized by my leadership, but that's the goal. To not
trauma, little do you to, know, there's a whole support. Yeah,
there's
group.
Like their whole Joel traumatized us. I hope not. But there's just been a very real, I think, a very real experience of, man, upon quitting and doing something different, a lot of new things were uncovered and not a lot of new opportunities have been offered up. And I feel like I am probably getting a little closer to my sweet spot of like what I'm good at and what I'm, I think, designed to do. And
so in this case, you would say quitting has actually helped you shape to be a better person, more aligned with your actual, I don't want to say skill set, but your,
yeah,
yeah, it's made it, Is that what you would say?
I guess. I mean,
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
yeah, I think I was very much within my skill set for a certain time, developed certain things unexpectedly. And then by eventually, like once they got to that certain point, I said, hey, I'm going to quit this and do something different now. And experience a lot of successes, experience some kind of new things that would not have been possible had I not done those previous things, because those are all very, like, you know, for me, like ministry life and things like that. I mean, it definitely formed a lot in me and definitely developed a lot of stuff. But I don't know. I know this for true. A lot of fellow colleagues that I had on the ministry side, again and again and again, I've just had a really intense conversation about this last week. They don't quit because they don't. This is probably a whole other show. They don't quit because they don't know what else they would do. It's not that they're staying where they're staying because they're like, oh, this is the right fit. They're staying where they're staying because they're like, they just can't imagine other options or see another way forward where they would experience fulfillment and, sure, and all of that. So it's interesting. It's interesting all the things you have to weigh. And I know, again, quitting gets a bad rap because there is something powerful about sticking with and overcoming what that does to us, even in terms of like neurologically, how it trains our brains, all of that. And so in early life and how we're training our kids, there is something to be said for like, I mean, Andy, I don't know if any of your kids have like joined a club or something and then wanted to quit halfway through it. And you've had to have the talk with them about.
Okay. So, but let's talk about that though. Why, as an adult, are we saying it's okay to quit? It's okay to look at where you're at and go, okay, this is not for me. But as a kid, we tell our kids, this is, you know, not something you should do. You should stick with this.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. So why is that okay for kids, but not for us as adults?
I wonder if part of it is, I think part of it is that with the kids, it's usually the time frames are way different. So what we're saying for a kid is, hey, you pick to be part of this club or this team that you're going to be on for 3 months. You're going to be on for 3 months.
Okay.
Right. And it's going to naturally, this thing comes to a natural end. Apart from you deciding to stay with it or quitting, right? Like,
it's not something that would be ongoing. Right,
like 4-H season, right. 4-H season will come to a close, and then you will decide whether you want to re-up with that or not. Or this team,
even Boy Scouts. I mean, you could say, like, yeah, you know, let's evaluate in a year or whatever. I mean, it doesn't have a natural close to it, but again, there is a season to it, if you will.
Yeah, and so there's part of that where it's like. Number two, there, and I think with a team or something, there's the sense of, okay, for a certain period of time, there will be other people depending upon you, but really after that, not so much, right? Like in jobs, Andy, like us, like we are, here's the deal in our jobs, vast majority of us, unless you're, I don't know, you have some really magical job, you are totally replaceable. Like, someone else,
right?
Someone else can do my job. Someone else can do your job, Andy. And God forbid, but maybe better out there somewhere. People I hang out with, they're super smart. I know that there's other people could do my job better than me, you know, inevitably. But I think with our kids, it's much more about commitment, like making a commitment and seeing something through. To a start, a middle, and an end point. Versus like our jobs where it's like we could go and do that sucker for 30 years, you know, or whatever.
Have a
good season at the beginning of it and an okay in the middle, but then there comes a point where all of a sudden it's not good anymore.
Yeah, well, and I think too, as we're talking with our kids, we're helping our kids develop something where we're saying you need to develop this. You can't just quit as soon as something gets hard, right? I mean, like, life is going to be hard.
Right.
Jobs are going to be hard.
Right.
There are going to come things that you have that you don't want to do, but you have to do them because they're your job and you can't just quit when it gets hard. But at the same time, we're saying, okay, and I like what you said earlier, like, or what we've talked about. Like, let's reevaluate this. Like, yeah. You know, maybe this is hard. You know, maybe the fact that you're playing soccer and you've never played soccer before and you don't, you know, there are kids on your team that are way better than you.
Yeah.
Like, let's evaluate this though, once you've gone through a season, mm-hmm. and see if you want to continue.
Yeah.
Because there may be things that we can do as parents to lead our kids into train them better. You know, maybe that means on soccer off season, we get them a soccer coach.
Or maybe they need a different team.
Or whatever.
Maybe they need a different team that's not playing at the same level, or that would offer the kid more, you know, more experience or better. Those are all really valid considerations. I think the danger of quitting and what we're concerned about, and I think rightly concerned about when it comes to our kids, is that is them learning either overtly or kind of covertly or passively.
Or just vertly.
Them learning this lesson that they can say yes to anything and then say no to it immediately after. And it's totally fine.
Well, and I think that there's some value in saying, okay, no, like, we as parents have paid for this.
Yeah.
Like, it's costing us something too.
Yeah.
So, no, it's not just costing you your time and your whatever, but it's actually, as parents, it's costing us because we, you know, paid to put you in this sport. We've bought you cleats. We bought you a soccer ball. We bought you whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's also teaching kids, like, there's value to money and financial monetary. Not saying that comes above your comfort,
right,
or how you're feeling as a kid and you're wanting to do this sport. It's not coming above that, but there is that you have to put in. Mm-hmm. Your wife brings up a good point here. She says staying the course can create grit, and I agree.
Yeah, and that's what we want to form in our kids. I think we've seen that, and I'm sure you have too, Andy. There's been a few things where I don't know, something gets hard for them, or they start using quitting language and that, and it's just like, you're not gonna turn, like, we don't turn tail and run the first hard thing that comes along. So there are definitely differences in when we're talking with our kids about quitting. Now if they complete a season and they go, that was terrible, I don't want to do that again, then okay.
Okay. So let's run this by you.
Yeah.
So have you, or would you, if you were going to be quitting a job or a leadership position or a mm-hmm. volunteer position that you were doing, would you discuss that with your kids and say, hey, this is why I'm quitting?
Yeah. I think Aaron and Josiah, the two old, I mean, they're both teenagers now, and maybe Matthew. I think now I would probably have that conversation with them. I think that could be a really powerful learning opportunity.
Right. Well, and I did that with Micah when I left the Boy Scout leadership, Scoutmaster. I basically said, hey, you know, Micah, like, I've really enjoyed this time with you. I've really enjoyed being your leader, mm-hmm. and I really would love to serve alongside of you in leadership. But for me, this is why I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Like, I you know, it's not because I don't want to be with you or whatever, but like, it's not because it became hard. It's because I felt the need that there was a replacement for me between you and the other new guy that started, as well as just, this is why I'm moving on, mm-hmm. Not necessarily quitting, but moving on, because I feel like I need to do this. There are places that I need to invest my time in. And so I let him know this, that it's not just me going, oh, this is hard, I'm quitting, or I don't want to do it anymore, I'm quitting. But this is the reason that I'm doing it and why I feel okay with it.
Yep. It can be, you know, we can make quitting as terrible of an experience or as meaningful an experience and positive experience as we want to. But I think exactly to your point, if we're willing to do the work around our quitting and to have the necessary conversations around it, I think it'd be good. I think that can be good. I've sat across the table from people as a leader who are informing me that they're quitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had really good conversations about that, productive ones, where it was like, okay, I totally understand your reasons, value those things, and also appreciate the manner in which you did it.
Mm-hmm.
You did, like, you did this in a way to be helpful. Then there's other ones where it's like, okay, you're quitting, you're rage quitting right now. You know, you're upset or you're whatever, and you're going to quit in the most harmful way, the most harmful way possible. And then it's like, well, no one really learns from that experience, you know. That just kind of leaves everybody a little bit bruised. So, yeah, I think there's a consideration for how you do it, when you do it, the motivations behind it. Is it because things are hard, or because you have other opportunities and you're gonna pursue those, and because you think there's a new season of life in front of you, which is great. Ultimately, I think just a lot of the influence about our quitting decisions is probably rooted in fear of failure, being perceived as a failure. I know I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
Like when pastors quit, like out of ministry, it's not a matter of when they leave one church and go to the next, or when ministry and go to the next, but when they are like, when they quit, there is a little bit of a stigma to that. Or if you were, I don't know, Andy, like if you were someone well versed in like a technology field or whatever, and one day you just were like, I'm giving this up and I'm gonna go be a goat farmer. No offense to goat farmers. Love our goat farmers, by the way. Passed one on the way in here. But like, took a real 180.
Yeah.
Right. It's easy to think like there would be concern, like people are like, gosh, what happened or whatever. And it's like, no, maybe I found a new calling on my life. And obviously this happens because the vast majority of our college graduates, they're not working in the area where they graduate. Like those kind of decisions are being made.
Yeah.
So don't fear them. Don't fear them. It doesn't have to be an act of failure. It can be an act of reinvention. It can be strategic.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you are in the driver's seat making the decision, I think. So.
So have you guys, our listeners, have you guys had to quit something? What's been your experience? Have you had to stick something out? Have you had to work with your kids on sticking things out? What's your experience with that? We would love to hear from you. You can call our voicemail line 574-213-8702. Again, 574-213-8702. Or pull out your voice memo app on your phone and email.
Love those memos.
Email feedback@dudesanddadspodcast.com. And we would love to have that. Joel, I think in closing for me, I think the one thing that I would advise is listen to those around you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that mean a life coach, somebody who's mentoring you, your spouse, anybody who's really close to you that knows you as a person, and bounce these ideas off of them. Ask them, you know, like, hey, I'm thinking about quitting this. Is this something that you see being a good thing in my life or not? And a lot of times those people who are the closest to you know you well and can speak into you. And can go, Andy, I don't think this is your time. I don't think that this is time to do this. I think you need to stick it out. Or yes, it is time to quit XYZ.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that for years. No.
Right. So that's my closing thought. Joel, what are you closing thoughts on this?
What I'm thinking about is, it might be helpful with my kids. It just might be helpful for me to have the quitting conversation with them. And I think have a conversation about why we quit or why we don't quit outside of the immediate pressure of like a quitting situation, right? So no one's thinking about quitting anything right now, but I want to have a proactive conversation. I want to have an intentional conversation about it and help them think through those things. Cause it's going to inevitably,
it's going to come up.
It's going to come up, and those challenges are going to come up. And Andy and in as much as it feels like we can be reactive so many times to things, it's always great when we can kind of be proactive and address those things ahead of time and kind of have a game plan as best as we can. So I think that would be, that's just what's kind of in my mind and what I'd like to leave everybody with, encourage everybody why are we not doing this thing in terms of sticking with something or leaving it. So yeah, that's for me, Andy.
Awesome, guys. Well, we would like to remind you to subscribe, like, tell others about our podcast,
please.
We appreciate each and every one of you. We appreciate you not quitting on us.
Nice. That's a callback right there. That's nice.
But yes,
as always, you can head over to dudesanddadspodcast@gmail.com. Send us ideas for shows, people you think we should interview, all that good stuff. We'd love to hear from you.
You can do what Joel just said or call our voicemail line, 574-213-8702. Joel, I'm a champion of that line.
Thank you so much. DudesandDadsPodcast.com or now
DudesandDads.com.
DudesandDads.com. It'll also take you there to the magical online wonderland. Check out previous episodes, all that good stuff. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us. Love to hear more from you. And until next time.
Grace.
Peace.